All right, and away we go. It's Tuesday, February the 4th, 2022, 4:20. 12 and a half minutes past the hour here on this rainy but okay temperature Tuesday morning. Now, I don't normally like to start a show this way. I would rather never start a show this way. And I have to do something before I do it. So bear with me, because this is not going to be a pleasant moment. Hopefully it'll turn into a pleasant moment, but I don't know. So just give me a second here, and I'll tell you why I'm sort of uncomposed this morning, and also why I have no notes written, and of all mornings for something to happen, you know, I guess that's the way it goes. Well, what am I talking about? Well, let me get into this. Okay. Well, first of all, let me tell you, because I know we were off the air this morning. I don't think we were off the air a whole long time from what I can tell, but this was not the morning you wanted to be off the air because of what I'm going to say here in just a few minutes. But here's what happened this morning for all everybody who woke up this morning and we were not on the air prior to 7:30. Radio stations nowadays, all of us go off the air sometimes. Sound was not meant to fly through the air like it does. And all stations are carried by a server. And last night, at some point in the middle of the night, our server went down, which of course took us off the air and threw us into a backup system, which is okay. I mean, everything maintains itself until somebody realizes overnight that the station was off the air, which I did this morning. But now here's the issue with the whole thing. As soon as I realized the station was off the air, I thought, okay, well, I got to get us back on the air. And I knew it was a server problem, because when I went to the tower to see what was being put out, it was that I just got a big white page saying that the server was down, that the station was being carried on. So I knew that there was a problem. So I thought, okay, well, I've got to fix this problem by restarting the server to the station, because somewhere along the line it had went down over the night, and that's not a huge problem to fix. So I start to fix the server, and I get the server restarted, and I get everything moving back the way it should be moving so we can be on the air. And then I try to log back into the tower, because I'm doing this all from home this morning. I try to log back into the tower to make sure that we have now restarted that server so that the sound is going out over the transmitter. And when I log back into the tower, it was interesting because it had blocked me out. Because initially, I did not know what the problem was. So I'm logging into the tower trying to figure out why no sound is coming out of it. I knew the transmitter was working fine because I could hear that, but I could not hear any sound, so I didn't know why we were down. So it took about 10 minutes to figure out that it was the server that was down. So I had logged in so many times that it had locked me out for 10 minutes. So now, even though I had the server restarted and we were all ready to go again, the tower had locked me out. So now I had like 10 minutes where I just had to sit and wait before I could log back into the tower to restart the server. And I'm telling you, one thing, we all go dead air from time to time for whatever reason. This is not a perfect science. And if we ever do go dead air, you know, it's just one of those things, and stick with us and we'll eventually get the problem fixed and let you know what happened, like I'm doing right now. But when you are sitting there and you have the radio on and you know you're dead air and there's nothing you can do about it, you can't log into the tower, you can't fix the problem, even though you know what the problem is that needs to be fixed, I'm telling you, you will sweat blood. You will literally sweat blood trying to get the station back on the air. So those 10 minutes this morning that I had to wait were like 10 minutes waiting to go to the electric chair. Because I'm thinking, oh, can't we just get this over with? Can't we just get this on? Not to mention the fact that I was doing this all from home. I did not want to jump in the car and come here because I knew it would mean the station would be off the air longer. So it's postponing my arrival time this morning. And so I really did not get here to the station until like 7 minutes ago. The top of the hour had already started. That's how late that I got here this morning. So essentially, it's been a little bit of a rough morning. And because of the rough morning, I don't have any McDonald's drink. Now, I'm not telling anybody to bring me one this morning, but boy, I could have used one this morning, that's for sure. And we're back up on the air, though. So now I'm in a little more state of calm. We're back up on the air. Everything's running after an horrendous 7 o'clock hour this morning that almost made me late coming here, kept us off the air. I don't know how long we were off the air. The whole thing. It was really some morning. You know, and you almost start to develop that headache, like over your right eye. Well, I guess it would be my left eye. See, I don't even know right from left at this point. It was a headache over my left eye that was starting to develop because I thought, can't this just work itself out? Can't we just get to a point where we can get back on the air and go forward? Well, now I feel better because we are back on the air and we have gone forward, and I got to listen to the station in the car as I was coming to the studio this morning, so I knew we were back on the air, and that kind of calmed everything down, and there you go. So that is how my morning started. So however your morning started this morning, I hope that it started better than mine. But again, I think after time, you realize that things are going to happen that are beyond your control, and that's just the way it is. So that's what happened this morning. If you were listening before 8 o'clock, we had a little bit of a snafu with our server, but the server is fixed now. Everything is back up and running, and here we are moving forward. Now that I've got that out of the way, of all things, now, this is what I particularly did not want to do, and I don't think any of us here ever wanted to do this, and I found this out yesterday, and these announcements are not fun to make. You know, you don't like to break bad news to people. I guess some people do, but I don't like to break bad news to people, but I do know this has happened, and I do know that the listening audience is entitled to hear this news, and this is a particularly sad morning for me, and I'll tell you why momentarily, and why I don't have any notes, and this is why I'm a little more, like I say, disheveled than I normally would be on a normal morning, but you know, we'll soldier on because that's what you do. Okay, here is what's going on at this particular point. And you hate to make an announcement like this. And of all mornings for a signal issue to happen with the station, it would be this morning. But you know what? Maybe that's just the way things go at a time like this. Now, I know you're sitting at home or on your listening device or wherever you are, and you're thinking, what is he talking about? What does he know that we don't know? Well, here it is. And, you know, it's hard to make this announcement. And I know I'm just repeating myself at this point, but you're going to have to excuse me for that because it's tough to say this on the air for the first time because of a lot of great times and a lot of fun that we've all had here on this station. And I guess this is the way I want to preface this. I've always thought of this station as a family. We really do like each other, and we really do get along with each other. And Charlie and I have joked about this for a long time, that other radio stations are not that way. I've worked for two other radio stations and a television station, and nobody talked to each other. We didn't get together for Christmas parties. We didn't get together for anniversary parties. It was just not something you did. People didn't talk in the morning. They went into their office or their studio and really didn't speak to each other. Well, at this station, we do. We have Christmas parties. We've had one every year where everybody comes. We have anniversaries parties, and we've had one every year. We've gotten together when we have lost people on this station, like the late Paul Savage. We all got together for his last program. So, you know, we do stuff like that. And the people who are here are like family members. They really are. And it just becomes that way over a period of time. And I say all the time that I work with the best people in the world, because every job that I work with, I feel very close and happy and connected to those people, as I do here. Now, with that being said, that's why this is a hard morning, because yesterday I learned something that I would have rather not learned, and it's not been said anywhere else. I was told that this morning, so I guess this will be the official announcement of this. And I know you listening at home as well are like an extended family. You know, I know some of you who call in. Some of you have done unbelievably nice things over the years, like bake cakes and bring sodas in and Christmas candy and the whole bit. And some of you have been with us since day one, and it's, you know, it's fun. It's nice. It's nice that we all can have that kind of relationship and be a family, not just here at the studio, but you, the listening audience. And that's why I love to open up the phone lines and always have. And I love when somebody calls in more than once, because it's an extended family. And I think one of our listeners referred to it as an extended family. But this one's particularly hard to say. So, I know you're thinking, what is he talking about? So let's just get to it. Here is what I learned yesterday, and it is not pleasant to say it, but I think that I'll get into this in a second. I'm not being as eloquent with this as I should be. Let me put it that way. But here is the news that I hate to break to you this morning, that I learned yesterday. We've had a lot of people on the station who have done shows for a long time, who are great, great people, and I've had great relationships with them and done shows with them. And it's hard to say something like this, to be honest with you. It's hard to say something like this over the airwaves. I know we're all friends here, but it's just hard to have it come out of your mouth for the first time. So here we go. You know, this is just how it's going to be. I learned yesterday that longtime host on this station, Talk of the Town and the Exchange Club, Marge Hazlett, passed away on Sunday night at the age of 85. Now, I know that's a shock to a lot of people listening, because I don't believe that news has been out yet. There have not been any funeral arrangements made at this point that I'm aware of. So I don't have much more information than you have. I was just told yesterday that she passed away on Sunday night, and she was 85 years old. And I've known Marge Hazlett for 20 years. Marge Hazlett was one of my college professors, psychology. And we spent time together in college. And then when I went to WMRN, she was a guest on my show. When I needed a psychologist to come in and speak about something, she did that. She developed cancer, I think around 2008, 2009. And she would come on air with me and talk about that very honestly. I believe it was colon cancer, if I'm not mistaken. And then when Marge retired from Ohio State after being a professor for more than 50 years, she came here to this station and did her own show, Talk of the Town, for just about 4 years. She started that show back in January of 2016, and the last episode of that program aired just about a year ago, February 15th, 2019. And I know a lot of people out there love to hear about Marge, love to hear about her cats, love to hear about her adventures that were going on during the week. And it's sad to hear this. Marge, I knew, was not feeling well. I visited with Marge. Sean and I actually went over and saw Marge the Friday before Christmas. And she was doing okay. We reported back on that she was doing okay. She wanted to tell the listening audience hello. Marge was as spunky as she always was. And so maybe that's why this is a little bit of a shock, even though we knew that she was not feeling very well. And we went through a lot with Marge. You know, Marge did have spells where she wasn't feeling well, and then she had spells where she was feeling very well. And she was here with us when Mr. McFeely came. She was here with us through Christmases. She was here with us through anniversary parties. Marge Hazlett was just a constant. And as a matter of fact, Marge Hazlett was a constant in the community of Marion. She was a member of Junior Service Guild for I don't know how many years. I believe she was president of Junior Service Guild at one point. She was, I believe, a president or one of the heads of the Martha Dowse Dance Club. She has a connection to Martha Dowse in that way. And all the things she did at OSU for the better part of a half century. And then spending time here with us. But as I say, I've known Marge Hazlett for 20 years. And to think that she's gone is a very difficult thing. Because we did have a close relationship, as did a lot of people around the station with her. A lot of people in Marion had close relationships with Marge Hazlett. And her late husband, Hal, who passed away, I think about 20 years ago, he was one of the founders, helped found Ohio State here in Marion, and he helped tutor a lot of kids along with Marge in their home. So they're a big part of this community. I know she spoke at the Capture the Moment dinner several years ago. I believe 2014, 2015 that happened. I went to her retirement party when she retired from Ohio State back in 2015. And she just was a constant. Marge was not the retiring type. Marge did not want to go sit at home. She enjoyed being out, being about, and being with people. And I think that's why she was so good to come in here and do these radio programs, which she did, for 4 years. And we did not know her last show was going to be her last show. We knew she was having some health concerns, but Marge had had those, and she would bounce back from them, and we would continue on. Her last show aired on this station. Her Talk of the Town program aired on February 15th. 2019, almost a year ago now. But we stayed in touch with Marge. And she was also on the Exchange Club that day. She was a panelist with Charlie and I on the Exchange Club. So just not a fun morning to hear that Marge had passed away yesterday at the age of 85. But I remember the happy times with Marge. Marge and I had a lot of happy times. We had a lot of laughs. And a lot of good things happen. Now, what I want to do in tribute to Marge here, before we move any further, as I say, Marge's last show on this station was February 15th, 2019. Now, I engineered that show. I was her co-host that day, I guess is what you would say, for Talk of the Town. And I took two quotes from the last time Marge was on this station, in her own voice, from February the 15th, 2019. So, here is Marge Hazlett on the station, February 15th, 2019. The last time she was on, here's Marge.
I had opportunity in nursing to be the director of nursing in Marion when I came. I was offered that job. But I didn't want to do that because that wasn't what I was on my calling. I really love to work with the patients. I love teaching the students and helping them help the patient. And I've never been sorry, never in a minute in my life. I love everything I've done. I really have. And people think that it's just sick. Well, it isn't. That's the way I am. I'd give my shirt off my back, you know, if I really knew the person needed it worse than I. I used to be a neat freak. I had to have everything in its place. I had to have it cleaned all the time. I don't even care. You know, I'm going to enjoy my animals. I'm going to enjoy coming here. I'm just going to enjoy life.
And that's the best way.
That's the way I look at it.
The late Marge Hazlett, her last broadcast on this station, February 15th, 2019. It's interesting, as I say, because we did not know that was going to be Marge's last broadcast. So the things we talked about, those two clips, I thought were kind of poignant because I think they summed up Marge very well. That she enjoyed her life, she was going to enjoy her life, and nothing was going to stop her. And I know there are a lot of kids today. She was my professor when I was in college, psychology professor, and the closeness that she had with students was amazing. Marge did that very well. And I know this may be the first time that a lot of students are hearing this. And that's a sad thing. Because I know she was a surrogate mother to several students. And it's tough. And we will miss her here at the station. We've missed her for the last year. But to know that she left us on Sunday night. It's hard to say. I did want to open up the phone lines at 32 minutes past the hour because, as I say, we are a family here at this station. And if anybody who is on this station or who typically, you know, they don't call in, but anybody who's on this station or anybody who had a relationship with Marge Hazlett or anybody who just knew her from listening to her for the 4 years that she was on this station with her Talk of the Town or Exchange Club programs, and would like to share a memory, please do that this morning. That's what I'm doing. I'm sharing my memories of Marge. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have a memory of Marge Hazlett you would like to share? Anything you would like to say. I just know that when you are at a college for 50 years, that's a very... we're getting a call, but for some reason it didn't go through. If that's you, call back. The call almost went through. So call back if that's you. 740-383-9944. Okay, I think here comes the call back, and we'll see what's going on. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, this is Judy.
Oh, Judy, how are you?
Well, okay, I just heard about Marge.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant morning.
No, but I liked her because of her cats.
Yeah, she did. She loved her cats, and I can report that she still had two cats when she left us Sunday night, and when I saw her back in December, the Friday before Christmas, she still had those cats. As a matter of fact, I helped her feed the cats back then.
Yes, I know. I had gone up to the Aiken, that auction place, the church. I had bidded on two things. It had little... separation things for the cat food, but she was getting sick around that time, and I didn't take them to her for those new cats.
Right.
And stuff, and I haven't even opened mine. I have two of them and stuff, but yeah, her cats, because I'm a cat lover, and I'm the one that lost that black cat.
Yeah, Marge loved her cats. It was interesting because Marge had a cat, and it was always a funny thing. She had a cat named Callie for many years. And this cat used to listen to the radio. Marge used to say that the cat would lay on top of the radio and listen to it. And if somebody came on that the cat did not like, that she would get off the radio.
Well, why wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, she used to say that. That was always a funny thing. But Marge, when this cat passed away, Callie, I know that Marge, I believe this cat, as I was talking, we were just talking about this Friday, Charlie and I.
I know.
Yeah, this cat, I believe, was frozen, and I believe will be buried with Marge. And I believe this cat died about 2 years ago, but I believe it's with Dr. Yancey at this point. But that's what Marge told me. I think that's what's going to happen. I'm not for sure. But Marge said she could never get another cat. And within a month, Marge had these two young cats. And it's funny, because when I saw Marge about a month ago, it was the Friday before Christmas, last time I went to visit her. Those cats were still running around, and she still loved them.
Oh, yeah, because the cat, I just lost that cat. You advertised for me, and I appreciate it.
Right.
And you just can't get, certain cats you cannot get over, because I've probably fixed over 30 cats, taking them to upper and stuff. They would come as strays, and years ago they had that feline leukemia, and they would die. But I wanted to tell you to advertise, oh, I'm telling now, that the cat was found, but it wasn't, you know, the right outcome I wanted. And since Friday, I've got four calls about the cat. People are still calling me, you know, thinking they found the cat, you know, different things and stuff.
Oh, they're still out there calling.
Oh, yeah, they're calling. And I just got a call yesterday, and I think I got two Sunday, and I got one Saturday and stuff. But the cat was found, but not the outcome that I wanted.
Right.
And stuff. But, yeah, you miss them. And certain cats, I have about 30 cats. Three of them are, you know, they're just, some of them are just different, you know, and stuff and things. So, and stuff. But, yeah, I wanted to tell the listeners and stuff, I did find the cat. So, and I went and took all the signs down so they don't see those anymore and everything. So I really advertised to get her back, but.
Well, we're sorry it wasn't the outcome you wanted, but we are glad we could help in any way, letting people know that it was missing.
Yeah, because you really advertised for me, and I really appreciate that, cause, and everything. So, and everything. But, yeah, Marge, when I think of her, I just think of the cats.
Yeah, that was something, and when I was listening to that last show she did, of course, at one point during it, she was talking about the cats. So that's something Marge loved to talk about.
Well, that's how I connected with her, was the cats. So.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for calling in. I'm sorry about your cat, and certainly...
I know.
Yeah. But I
would have given almost anything to get that cat back. That sounds kind of whatever. If it took 1,000 or whatever, I would have given it to get that cat back. But
I know.
Stuff, so
it's tough.
I know. Some of them you just, you know, you really get attached to. And since I retired, the other cats that kept coming out to the place I lived in the country, you know, they were outside, and you didn't get that attached to them and things. But they would come in spurts over like 35 years, you know, one or two or so would come a year, and different stuff, but and everything. But I appreciate what you did and everything. So I want to thank you, and I'm so sorry about her, because I've wondered about her, and I asked a few months ago about her, and.
Yeah, like I said, I saw her about a month ago, and she was you know, she was doing okay. She was 85, but she was still living alone, living independently. She was at Primrose by that point, but she had her own apartment, and she was still going down for dinner and all those things. So, you know, she was living a good life, and I don't think there was any, her end was bad. I think, you know, Marge lived a good long life, and she helped a lot of people as a nurse and a radio host and a college professor. So just a good lady.
Yeah, she did a lot and stuff, so.
She did.
And well, yeah, okay then.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Yes, it's tough to lose any kind of person, lose an animal, lose anything. But the news that we greeted you with this morning, not terribly pleasant news, to be sure, is that longtime radio host here on the station, Marge Hazlett, passed away on Sunday at the age of 85. And, you know, memories come to your mind because, as I say, I've known Marge for 20 years. She was my college professor when I was at Ohio State. And Marge was just funny. She talked about her cats when she was in... when she was teaching, she used to talk about her cats. So that wasn't a new thing when she came to radio. Marge loved animals. She really did. I don't know if I ever knew anybody, and a lot of people love their animals, but I don't know if I ever knew anybody who loved their animals as much as Marge Hazlett did. She had a big, big heart, especially for cats. She loved her cats and Callie the cat, which was with her for so many years. And that's how I remember that, because I don't remember everybody's cat's names, I can tell you that. But I remembered Marge's cat's name because I heard it just about every time I saw Marge. And as I say, when I visited her the Friday before Christmas, the two new cats were still there running around. And she was worried that day that they would be fed. And because at that point, you know, Marge was 85 and she was having a little trouble, you know, lifting the cat food bag. So I helped her feed the cats when I was there. But I'm sure there were other people at Primrose who were helping her with that sort of thing. But, yeah, that's what we're doing this morning. If you have a memory of Marge or have anything you'd like to say, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring, and we'll put you up on the air. We might do some trivia next hour. something like that. We've had a lot of fun with the movie trivia lately that's went very well. So that might be something we delve into. And I do want to let everybody know that the Valentine's Day spaghetti dinner at the Morrill United Methodist Church at 206 West Neff Street in Morrill is coming up Wednesday, February 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. $6 for adults, $3 for kids under 12. Spaghetti and meatballs, garlic bread, salad, a drink and dessert, and it is wheelchair accessible. That's Wednesday, February the 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. Valentine's Day spaghetti dinner, Morrill United Methodist Church. So there you go. And as we move on this morning, 42 minutes, coming up on 43 minutes past the hour. Now, it's interesting because now, you want to come to a microphone here? Come on over. We'll slap you. Because, see, this is an interesting story that transcends last week. Now, last week, this is where I thought I was losing my marbles. Because what happened was, I was here at the studio, and as I was telling the story last week, two gentlemen walked in who I knew, and I knew that I knew them, and I knew where I knew them, but my response to them when they walked in the studio was, "How can I help you?" Like, I had no idea who these people were. And I did know who both of them were, and one of them was Zach Fuller, who does our news weather here on the station. And this morning, after last week, when I had no idea who he was, he brought me a large Diet Coke from McDonald's. So it does not get any better than that. Zach, how are you this morning?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. Now, you are heading up at this point, MONN-TV. Mm-hmm. How is that going?
A lot of work.
I bet.
A lot of work. We have so much stuff that's transcending and going on, from news, weather, traffic, sports, you name it. We're pretty much getting it all covered, and making sure that everybody has access to the news in Marion. I mean, we're actually going later on today, and we're looking at actually opening up our office probably within the next 3 to 5 months. But things are looking pretty good right now. It's growing exponentially. Last month we had right around 80,000 people click over to the website, and it's just one thing after another. It's skyrocketing. So
now, for people who want to check this out, how do they do that?
Most of the information that you can find, we've come to find out that Marion County as a whole is a Facebook-oriented society. So people can go to our Facebook page to access our website. And the main reason we do it through the website and through Facebook, yeah, you have to click out of Facebook in order to get to the website. But some of our stories are very long. Facebook only allows you so many characters in that status update. So we put it all on the website. You can go to Marion Ohio News Network on Facebook. And then you can also, if you want to bypass Facebook altogether, it's MONNTV.com. A lot of people have been asking, why the TV? Well, we want to bring back TV to Marion, but we're bringing it back in a new generation of TV. Everybody likes to go with their cell phones for everything. You'll actually be able to watch on the go everything, just like WWGH has the TuneIn app. You'll actually be able to go to our website and be able to stream the new MONN-TV. We're looking like mid-March that's going to be completely ready and programmed and all that fun stuff. So it's going
to
be fun.
Now, is this the way, because it seems to me to be the way that people are watching television now, YouTube, little streaming networks. It doesn't seem to be that, to me, that cable and broadcast networks are all that important anymore.
You know, and we were thinking of that when we had sat down and decided, you know what, we're going to go ahead and create this new entity of news and information in the Marion community. You could still go to, say, one of the news sites down in Columbus, or some people get it from Cleveland or Toledo. You can do that, no problem. But we wanted to get to the point where everything was localized for the Marion County area. So as far as the broadcasting side of things, they will they'll tend to do stuff, say, if you're pulling out a broadcasting station out of Columbus, you're not going to have what's happening in your community. You're going to have what's happening in all of the communities surrounding Columbus. So Lancaster or Hilliard or Dublin, you know, places like that. So we wanted to make sure that when we did this, it was centralized around Marion and people could get that information, because you're not going to know, besides listening to WWGH, you're not going to know what, you know, the church is doing down the street by watching the TV network out of Columbus. So that's kind of why we wanted to centralize it here in Marion.
Now, what's your opinion on what has happened to broadcasting here in Marion, certainly within the last year?
There's been a lot of change. As far as, you know, radio and TV and, you know, I've been around Marion for a little over 10 years now, after growing up down in Union County. Being here in Marion in these 10 years and watching the diversity of radio, TV, news, you know, everything like that. Excuse me. After watching all of that, it's mind-boggling is what it is. Listening to one person on one station and then 6 months to a year later, here we are hearing them on a different station. And it's just like, it's one of those things that you're just like, well, I never would have expected that to happen. And here we are, you know, a year later, and we're back to that point.
Well, it seems like everybody seems to be jumping around at this point, but one of the problems is, and I think the newspaper has this problem as well, which certainly is not a broadcast outlet, but budgets are so cut right now for broadcast stations, which do cost more to operate when you're over the air, that reporters are the first thing to go, employees are the first thing to go, so the amount of local news gets cut, and the newspaper used to be the go-to place, but I don't know if it is anymore.
Yeah, I've come to realize that more and more people are turning to the streaming outlets and turning to different websites. And, I mean, we ourselves, you know, with the Marion, Ohio News Network, we weren't expecting, you know, in the four-month time frame that, you know, we've been MON and TV, we weren't expecting by month four to be hitting the 80,000 mark on people visiting the website. Now, and keep this in mind that this is 80,000 individuals clicking on the website. We had over page views wise, when we're looking into analytics, page views wise, we had over 130,000 clicks to the website. And that was just in the month of January, you know, and getting that, you know, it's the fact that more and more people are finding out that there's the news out there and these new entities are coming around, you know, it's just one of those things.
So how do we keep it in the news division to a higher standard? Because one of the big problems with Facebook is that there is no governance of is it right or is it wrong. We can get as wrong as we want to be and never have to even go and print a retraction if you're on Facebook.
You know, and I've had a lot of people ask me that. One of the big things, one of the big standards that we have set for Marion, Ohio News Network is we've said, you know what, if we're going to post something or we're going to report something, we're going to have tangible evidence behind what we're posting. You know, we're going to do the research. We're going to upload the audio if we've got it. We're going to, you know, put in the PDF in the file or in the article so that people can see what we're saying in this article is exactly what's being said in this PDF or is exactly what, you know, Mr. XYZ had said during this meeting or that meeting. That way they know that this is 100% true. Now, we had, and it's kind of a touchy subject, and I really don't like getting into that touchiness. We had tried editorials back in, I want to say it was probably November of last year, giving our opinion on, or one of our writers had given their opinion on a certain subject. And that did not go over very well. So we have said since then that we're staying out of the editorials. We're just focused on getting the true hard facts of what's going on in the Marion community. Like I said, it's one of those that you can't really find out what's going on at the church or what's going on down at the park if you're trying to pull something from, you know, two counties away. This way we're actually able to get that information to the people.
What has been your biggest criticism?
Our biggest criticism? I've been told that we are a joke. I've been told that we're fake news. But anywhere that we go, any information that we put out, we've got the evidence, we've got the documents, and we've got the audio to go with it. Oh, you know, it's one of those, you really can't take it to heart, and people are going to say it over and over and over again. You know, oh, it's fake news. You're going to have your haters, I guess you'd say, but it just drives us to do more reliable information. So as far as criticism, it's one of those brush it off and just keep going. We really don't take to heart what people like to say. There's going to be some, you know, resistance here and there, but you just keep going.
Is it hard not to show a bias in the news?
It is. There are a lot of current issues that are going around that even I feel are very important. But I like to make sure that the information that I am putting out stays at that unbiased level. It's kind of hard to, because I'm still representing Marion, Ohio News Network, so I don't want to say I personally support this and that, and, you know, because it's not one of those things that, it's just really hard to, being unbiased when getting that information out, when you're saying, oh, we want you to support this, but we can't literally come out and say you know, hey, vote for that, or, you know, vote for this. It brings us back to getting that information out that is reliable. And I mean, we go to the sources and we say, hey, you know, talk to us, because when we get this information, we want to make sure that they're understanding, you know, exactly what this person's saying. So we'll break it down to them, or, you know, so as far as the unbiased thing, it is very difficult to do. But we managed to get to that point of, hey, we got to stay neutral in everything. And I'll be honest with you, we actually, excuse me, we actually had, and maybe we can get into that next hour, but we had, we've come to the point where, you know, in politics that we report on, you know, one thing leads to another. If one person's doing something that just doesn't seem right, we're going to investigate it. No matter Democrat, Republican, Independent, you know, green, purple, whatever the case may be, we're going to look into it. We're going to do our research and do our homework to make sure that we're getting that right information out. I don't care what party line you're on. We're going to call it out.
What is the definition that you use between news and just a sensationalistic story that really has no point to it, doesn't have any facts to it, it's just something somebody's saying?
So when we report a story, like I said, we mainly make sure that all of our ducks in a row are before anything happens. If somebody were to come to us and say, oh, well, this is, you know, what's happening, or that is what is what's happening, we make sure that any documents or any paperwork or anything like that is all in order before we even make a story. Later on today, we actually have an exclusive story that's coming out, where we've actually done our homework over the past month and a half. And we're getting that information out to people. We've got our quotes. We've got, you know, everything like that. If it's a story that, like, we just had, what was it, maybe a week ago, of the bobcat that, you know, was spotted over in the, what was it, east end of Marion County. We wanted to make sure that what we had done is, you know, we got the image that was sent to us. We had went to James Anderson with the Marion County Parks District, which, shout out to James, he's awesome. And we said, James, what does this look like to you, or what is this? And he, you know, gave us the quotes, and he said, hey, this is what this is. We're going to, you know, if this is what is spotted in Marion County and Ohio Department of Natural Resources says, hey, this is what we've got, then this is what we've got. And we pushed the story out, and it just blew up from there. But we wanted to make sure that we had that evidence, and we had the quotes from James, and we had the information as to where people can report what's going on before we push that out. So as far as what people are saying, or the news, or whatever, we make sure we do our homework before we put anything out.
It's an interesting line. Zach, I thank you for stopping in. I thank you for the pop. Thank you for stopping in. And we're going to come back next hour and do some trivia here. Also, remember The late Marge Hazlett here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Check out MONN TV for all kinds of information.
107.1.